I reiterate what I said earlier. First of all, thank you very much for coming and coming in such large numbers and coming in a spirit of determination to register your view. Just in case people aren't aware, there were 12 colleagues with me inside from a number of different areas that would be in one way or another affected. I absolutely understand that unless you have a full public meeting, and the Secretary of State was resistant at this point to such a meeting, it logically follows that there has to be a limit. And so some people can come in and participate in the roundtable discussion, and inevitably, therefore, others cannot. That isn't ideal, but what I would say is that each and every point of concern and objection on matters of cost, of absence of consultation, of blight, of noise, of weak business case was made at the meeting, and made, if I may say so, and I can say this because I wasn't doing it, I was the chairman, by my colleagues with great eloquence and very succinctly.
Did he listen?
Of course the Secretary of State did respond, but I do think you're entitled to know what my, Gary may want to offer his, assessment was. The Secretary of State did listen, and he was perfectly courteous, and he offered replies and responses to each of the points made. In one or two cases, he was able to clarify something and to reassure. But on the big issues, I think I can safely say on behalf of the group, we were not in any way, shape or form reassured. Therefore, although the Secretary of State just said a few moments ago that it was a very good and positive meeting, I would want myself just to qualify that statement and to explain what my understanding is. It was a good and positive meeting in the sense that everybody had his or her say and each was heard, but it wasn't good or positive in the sense that you're looking for and I'm looking for and my 12 colleagues were looking for, that the Secretary of State in any way backed down, compromised or revisited his position. None of those things happened. The Secretary of State's position remains unchanged. I have to say that my position remains unchanged, which is that, as I said as long ago as March in the first public meeting in Quainton, and subsequently both at Twyford and at Calvert, and indeed I think at one point in Longwith as well, I, for my part, as Member of Parliament for the Buckingham constituency, am opposed wholeheartedly to this project, both as a matter of principle and in terms of the detail. Yeah. 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 That simply hasn't changed at all. Secondly, I don't want to rerun, and I'm not proposing to rerun the election campaign, but I would just like to make the point, as I have had repeatedly to make, that I can make these arguments on your behalf pretty much whenever I want. I didn't make a big point of advertising what I'm about to say to you earlier, but I will underline it now. I had a one-to-one meeting with no officials or private secretaries or special advisors present in my office in Speaker's House approximately a fortnight ago with the Secretary of State, at which meeting I made all of the arguments which those of you who have attended the public meetings at which I have spoken will have heard me make before. So, needless to say, there is absolutely no difference whatsoever between what I have said to you at meetings and in response to correspondence and what I've said to the Secretary of State. I cannot make the policy of the government or instruct it to unmake a policy any more, to be honest, than any other Member of Parliament can do. What I can do, and I hope you will agree I have done and will continue to do, is to give as clear and articulate expression as I am able to the thoroughly valid objections that you all have to this project. Put simply, I think it is crazy to go ahead with this project which has not got a sound business case and at a time when the country is in any case broke. Mm-hmm. It remains my hope, though I've been offered no encouragement so far on this point, that the government might reconsider and abandon the project. If it doesn't do so, we have just got to keep making the arguments again and again and again invoking all the evidence and substantiation of our position that we can, and hope that in the end, right will prevail. Just on a point of detail, I won't bore you with all the detail about the consultation process, there will be much published on that, a note of this meeting by us will be published. But on the parliamentary side, on the parliamentary side, there will have to be a private or hybrid piece of legislation, hybrid legislation I think it will very likely be, but or a private bill, which is quite a technical parliamentary instrument, that will go before Parliament and is likely to have a couple of years of scrutiny. So what I do want to emphasise to you is that members of Parliament representing constituencies affected, and indeed those who perhaps don't but who have views on the issue, will have very, very, very extensive opportunities to make the arguments, either for this proposition or, as we will hope and expect, against. What I'm saying to you is, as I said earlier, and as Churchill used to say, KBO, keep buggering on, this argument will run and run and run. You may well think, and you may well think with some justification, that the Secretary of State already has a firm intention, but there is a long way to go. My position has not changed. I cannot see any prospect whatever that it will change, because I'm persuaded of the force of the arguments against, and I will go on making the arguments against at every turn, in front of the Secretary of State and other ministers, as necessary. And one thing I want you to be clear about is that I can do that. There has been a certain amount of misunderstanding, and in some cases, very small number of cases, but pure malice. People saying, oh, well, of course, the trouble is now that John's the Speaker, he can't stick up for us, he can't make the arguments. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope over the last 6 months or so, I have pretty well demolished that spectacularly absurd line of argument. I'm in every position to get to see the Secretary of State, and I'm not important at all, but the office I hold is. And precisely for that reason, frankly, I find it easier to get a meeting with the Secretary of State, and more quickly, than any other Member of Parliament does. For those of you who live in constituencies other than the Buckingham constituency, those of you who are here from neighbouring constituencies, I can exhort you only to keep contacting and putting the arguments before and, as necessary, remonstrating with your own Members of Parliament and encouraging them to continue to make the case. Our responsibility as constituency Members of Parliament is to represent you and to try to stop this expensive, unnecessary and damaging project. That was my commitment before, it remains my commitment now. I will redouble my efforts, I will do what I can. Thank you for your support. You have supported us in our endeavours today, and we, I can assure you, my colleagues and I, will go on supporting you. Thank you very much.
The MPs that are not involved directly with this line, the constituencies that are not involved, are few. There are hundreds of MPs who have constituencies that are not directly involved, but by hell they're involved because they're going to lose out on a lot of funding that's going to be taken up by this HS2 line. How can we communicate that to the other MPs that are away from this line who should realise how important this is nationally?
In case people didn't hear, the gentleman said the number of constituencies, if I understood you correctly, the number of constituencies directly affected
are few,
is relatively small, which is simply a statement of fact. There are very large numbers of constituencies that are not directly affected by the line, or indeed in that sense by the project, but which are affected in the sense of it going ahead, costing a lot of money and depriving them of resources which might otherwise be provided to them for a whole variety of other projects, whether transport,
education,
or of another character. How do we go about it?
Everything.
Communicating that point. The answer is, if you'll forgive me saying so, with a well-organised campaign spread across several counties and deploying the professional expertise as well as the personal opinions of many of you, it should be possible to get those messages across to all members of Parliament across the country. And frankly, with email, it is possible to do so very, very, very quickly and economically. And, you know, thank you, sir, for raising that point. And I would encourage you to make those arguments and to keep making them. We are not, and I think that today's meeting was proof positive of something I've always known, but had it confirmed. We are not engaged here, ladies and gentlemen, in some sort of academic disputation. I don't know if there are any academics here, but in academe, if you can demonstrate your opponent is intellectually wrong, then in good conscience, your opponent ought to admit, and often does admit, that he or she is wrong, and will go away and revisit the thesis. This isn't the situation. We are engaged, in a sense, in a war of attrition here, and it's not good enough to make a sound point once. You have to make the arguments over and over and over and over again. And at the point at which you have bored yourself, Richard, there is a possibility that your point might sufficiently have registered. And you've just got to try to ensure that in making